Praise God. His truth is marching on, and I trust it's marching through you. The ushers will be putting notes in your hand in just a moment. This year at the MAC, we're doing something a little bit different. I was talking to different speakers. I'd traveled to Oklahoma because I wanted to meet with Nigel and see if, because he is greatly used of God in miracles, signs, and wonders ministry, and he was in from Australia. And so I went to meet with Nigel and Kathy, his bride, in Oklahoma City for a few days, and I waited for the Lord to say, this is the speaker for July, but I never got it. But Nigel will be coming in the very near future to do a meeting at House of the Lord as he returns from Australia. I talked to Mario Murillo and several other ministers. And one day I said, Lord, I'm not getting an answer from you of what to do. And he said, do you want to showcase another minister's ministry, or do you want to build House of the Lord? And I said, I want to build House of the Lord. He said, you're short in your outreach and evangelism and in your men's ministry. And I said, okay. And so this year I've asked my nephew, Joel Tassiello, to come in. He began in Oklahoma City with a couple of guys, and they started a ministry under the auspices of the Christian Motorcycle Association, of which Richard used to be a member. And we're going to get him renewed and get a chapter going here. I know that Roy and Bob want to get their Harleys out and get rolling. Derek said he's ready to two-wheel for a while. But they begin to use that as a center drawing point, a group of motorcycle people. Now they've been able to reach some one percenters and some outlaw groups. And every Wednesday night they have a Bible study, and they will have 80 to 120 people coming in, and they've baptized as high as 15 guys at one time, coming off the streets and learning about God. I helped them open a event center where they do discipleship training. And on Tuesday night, the old ladies and wives and significant others of the guys who are in the group, they have a Bible study, and they're currently going through one of the Joyce Meyer books, and they have a Tuesday night ladies' disciple group. They have a men's discipleship group, and then they have the Wednesday night gathering where they all come together and worship God. And some of the guys break out their juice harp. That's a harmonica, if you don't know. And some of the guys break out their guitar, and they sing and worship God. And they have built an evangelism tool outside the walls of the church. Now, you can use bicycles, motorcycles, cars, golf, tennis. You can use just about anything as a drawing card that people share in common. But you can do something to build a kingdom, to build House of the Lord, and to evangelize our city. Yeah. House of the Lord needs to get outside the walls, reach to the city, and see lives changed and transformed. You've got the notes in your hand. Miracles, signs, and wonders now. For over 30 years, I've been talking to you about the power of your words. You are every day creating your future. If your words are, I can't get ahead, nothing seems to be working, it's too hard, you have sealed your fate as a loser. But if you are daily saying, My God supplies all of my needs. I am the blessed. And you're not just saying it at church, and you're not just saying it when you're around Christian people. You wake up saying, I am the healed of the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. You go to sleep saying, my God does exceeding abundant, above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend. Church, God will do those things in your life that you decree. I continue to decree that wealth overtakes me. Why? So that wealth can overtake me. I continue to decree I walk in health. And people say, Pastor, look at you. You're walking around carrying 3 gallons of extra fluid right now. You're having trouble catching your breath. I'm not looking there. I'm looking at the Word of God that says, with His stripes I was healed. I've already seen those words conquer death. I've seen those words conquer bankruptcy. I've seen those words conquer lies that would have dragged me down. I don't know why it took 25 years for Abram to get a son, but up until that time, no man had decreed a thing so it could be established. Maybe you're pioneering in your family. Maybe you're pioneering in your community. And it takes a while to overcome the generations of doubt and fear and unbelief that were sown. But if you keep sowing the truth will bring you whatever it is that truth has promised. Some of the people here have asked to be included in our word for the day. And I was trying to remember exactly how it came to me when I got up this morning. But I'll find it here. Grace is God's gift to man that, when activated, allows man to access the divine realm of life and function. Grace is not just a word we say over our meals. I hate that that term ever got started. Or who's going to turn grace? Who's going to say grace? No, grace is not a prayer you pray over a meal. Grace is God's doorway into the divine nature, into the divine realm. In that realm, you can function. In that realm, you can achieve. In that realm, you can do exploits. Grace is an atmosphere of success already provided for you to step into. For by grace are you redeemed or saved. What does that mean? Grace is already provided. All you have to do is activate it. For by grace are you saved through faith. Well, yes, Pastor, I was born again. No, no, no. By grace are you saved through faith from poverty when you activate it. By grace are you saved through faith in that grace when you activate it from sickness, disease, fear, doubt, Satan. It doesn't just work, Scott, when we are born again. Grace works in every area that would in any way drag us down from the divine level of life. I was saved from poverty. I was saved from sickness and disease. I was saved from fear and doubt. It's a grace gift, but I have to activate it. Too many people have been deceived and told, get born again and everything will be roses. Get born again and there'll be lots of thorns. Trying to prick you into getting your attention off of God. But as long as your mind is stayed upon Him and you're activating the promises, healing belongs to me. It's a grace gift. Eternal redemption belongs to me. It's a grace gift. Wealth and abundance belong to me. It's a grace gift, but I have to activate it through faith. So when you read Ephesians 1:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, then grace and faith are gifts that he gave me, that if I'll accept those gifts and apply those gifts to my life, I can be saved from everything that was redeemed at the cross. If I am walking in that state of grace, then I begin to approach today's message with a different understanding. I am not trying to get this. I am, with my words, releasing it because it already is. I'm not the sick trying to get well. I'm the healed of the Lord, and the devil is trying to steal my health, and he can't. I won't let him. I'm not the broke trying to get some money. I am rich, and the devil cannot steal my wealth. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Say this with me. I am the prophet of my future. What I decree about me will come to pass. And that's whether you want it to or not. Don't ever talk bad about yourself. Don't ever talk down about yourself. Don't ever ascribe to yourself failure. Because if you say it, you will fulfill it. The prophet said, I'm ensnared by the words of my mouth. Church, God intends you to do with your words things that no human can do. Because by grace, you're no longer human. You're a part of the divine family. God is my Father. Yeshua is my brother. The Holy Spirit is my ever-present help. I live in the throne room of God's mercy. The mercy seat is where I recline and relax. The worlds were formed from words spoken. The earth and the fullness therein were formed from words. Man began as words in God's mouth. We were made of words. I'm not dirt. I was dirt until he breathed. When he breathed, I became alive with the God life. Words can build up or tear down. Every day you're building a new future or you're tearing down the hopes of having one. Words plead your case and defend your cause. Words can be used to release power or poison. The wisest man in the Old Testament said, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's not just a statement, that's a truth. Life and death are released by your tongue. Job got a lesson in who he was. Job had a whole lot of things to say, and God said, where were you when I hung the moon and the stars? Where were you when I set the sun in motion? Where were you when I created the rhinoceros? Where were you when I created the hippopotamus and the elephant, the dragon, and all these other things? Where were you when I made them? When you can tell me how they were made, then we'll talk. And Job realized, I've been flapping my jaw, and it's a mistake. And he learned from God. And by the 22nd chapter, he said, man can decree a thing, and it will be established for him. And illumination will come to his path, and he will see, this is the way I ensure my future. This is the way I cancel my past. I decree in agreement with what God said, because God set him straight. You didn't build all this. I did. And by your words, you become a participant in what I built. And God taught Job, your words matter. What you're saying will build a future for you. What you're saying will destroy the mistakes of your past. You can erase your past and embellish your future when your tongue is in alignment with God said. Now, a lot of people during the 70s and 80s, when the confession movement was out there, got to thinking that they could just say anything. And then when some of the mess they were saying didn't happen, they got confused. And then they turned on the confession movement. Because I said it 1,000 times, it didn't happen. It doesn't matter how many times you say it. What matters is what you say, what God has said.
Yes. Agreeing with God.
I don't say I'm not sick. I say with his stripes I'm healed. I don't say I'm not broke. I say my God supplies all of my needs. The Voice translation says, you'll pronounce something to be, and he will make it so. Light will break out across all of your paths. Because the Voice says something that I want you to get. What I decree affects all of my walk of life. Every direction I step out in, health, wealth, joy, peace, power, the words of my mouth ensure my success or damn me to failure. Sometimes I'll be places and I'll hear people talking. My mother never could understand why I couldn't stand to spend much time at the house. But she could damn more people and damn more situations in a minute with her mouth than I could correct in hours of prayer. I can't stand to be around a negative mouth. And when one develops, I suddenly remember an unscheduled appointment. Do not allow yourself to hang out with negative people. Their tongue is poison. And sooner or later, that poison will affect you if you stay around it. If you have a negative talking friend, divest yourself of them while you pray for them that they come to an understanding of what they're doing to themselves and others. But it's a dangerous thing to be around a negative mouth. I tell you, I'd rather be around some drunk sailor that cussed than around a negative person. At least the profanity of the sailor won't deceive me, won't slip up on me. I know what it is. The Amplified said, you will also decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you. I have to decide that God is right. God is true. And what he has said, if I'll activate it, will work for me. And it will be established for you. And the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. John Osteen was famous for saying, there's a miracle in your mouth. He wrote a book entitled, There's a Miracle, a mini book, There's a Miracle in Your Mouth. Church, ask yourself right now, Have I allowed God's miracles to take up residence in my mouth? Do I daily decree what God said about me? I am the redeemed of the Lord. Whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. I am wealthy because He paid for my prosperity. Miracles, signs, and wonders are birthed in the heart. When your heart wants to see miracles, signs, and wonders, they'll begin to occur. Do you want to see miracles, signs, and wonders occurring in the house of the Lord in Austin, Texas right now? Then how has your vocabulary been affected? Are you speaking the miraculous and the supernatural? Are you coming to church saying, Father, I decree that today miracles, signs, and wonders will take place at the house of the Lord? They're given life in times of praying His word and promises. What does that mean? Father God, Your word said, hands they shall lay and well they shall be. Your word said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Father, we have authority and power and dominion by and through and in Your word. And they're given legs to walk with faith declarations. Today I will see Your miracle power made manifest. Today I will activate Your miracle anointing with the words of my mouth. Our faith example demonstrated words of power. Our faith example will demonstrate words of power. Our faith example, in other words, it's got to be activated. God, You will do exceeding abundant, above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend. Jesus said to a man, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. And the man got up, picked up his pallet and walked. The disciples saw, they heard, and they realized when He said to them, greater works than I do shall you do, that they could do the same thing. And so the disciples began to do what He did. They began to speak the power. Even though they weren't as bold as Him to just speak it out, they spoke it out as a deputized anointing. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When He saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed gaze upon him and said, look at us. And he began to give them attention, thinking, I'm going to get a $5 tip instead of a quarter. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of the Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth, walk. And he didn't wait for him to respond. He reached down and grabbed him by the hand. Because faith had been activated, now it needed to be navigated. He raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. He didn't say Peter and John stepped back to see if anything happened. They activated God's promise and expected God to honor His promise. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Miracles came out of their words. They decreed a thing, and it was established for them. Peter and John couldn't make the man walk. But their words agreeing with God's words could. Your words agreeing with God's words can. when you speak the name of the Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, you are speaking power. You're speaking authority. You're speaking dominion. You're ruling over a situation. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the gate beautiful of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What happened to him? A grace gift. A grace gift happened to him. People decreed a thing and it was established. I said people decreed a thing that aligned with God's word and it was established for them. This was a second generation power play. Luke chapter 6. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath. They weren't concerned about the cripple. They were concerned about their rules, so that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he got up and came forward. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. To save life or to destroy it." After looking around at them, who suddenly became mute and couldn't say anything, he said to the cripple, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. Pop. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him, Paul put his eyes on him. Paul said, "Ooh, I see somebody with faith rising up. Somebody's paying attention. Somebody's getting a hold of the word." And Paul said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the cripple leaped and began to walk. Second generation power in play. Jesus said to all who believe, "Say to this mountain, be removed. Say to this tree, be plucked up by the roots." Are you addressing the problems in your life? Are you saying to the mountain? Are you talking to God about the mountain? Are you talking to the mountain? Are you calling Sister Bucket Mouth to talk about the mountain? Are you complaining about the problem? I don't know why I can't get ahead. I don't know why I can't make ends meet. The harder I work, the broker I get. No, 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 church. Your words have to agree with God's words. Himself bore your infirmities on the tree, and with his stripes you were made whole. He became poor that you might become rich. He became sin that you might become salvation. Are you asking God to do for you what his word empowers you to do? "God, heal me." And God said, "Heal yourself. There's a miracle in your mouth. Why do you keep damning your health by decreeing the problem rather than telling the problem where to go? Let your light so shine before men." What is your light? We've used this verse many times. In fact, Sister Michelle wrote a song that came from this passage as we were taking it to the streets and letting our light shine in Austin, holding rallies in the parks. But when the Lord took me to this verse for this message, he says, answer the question. I must have missed something, Lord. What was the question? The question is, do you understand what your light is? And I said, my Christian example. And he said, you're kidding yourself. And I said, okay, Daddy, what is my light? And he said, your light is my light. Your word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my pathway. Your light is the word of God in your mouth. Other people need to see that lighting your path so it will light their path. And then I had to, Damon, do the, how could I have been so dumb to read this verse for so long and never ask the question, what is my light? God said to me, when you take my word as your word, my light becomes your light, and you can let it shine. That's what this verse is about, decreeing what God has promised. Thomas, I can speak his words, and it becomes a light shining out of my mouth that illuminates somebody else's path. God's word in your mouth is a light. Let your light so shine before men in such way that they may see your good works that are being accomplished as you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. That they may see your good works and go, I know Jimmy didn't do that. God must be at work through his words. When God's words become your words, a light shines from your mouth and illuminates the path that others may see how it works. From this day forward, let the light of his word shine out of your mouth. Church, you have miracle potential. Church, you have light-giving potential. There is a miracle in your mouth when his word is in your mouth. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee by not using your word to transform the world around me. You can change everything. I was talking to Lou the other day and I said, do you remember some time ago I started calling you Rich? And we were in a little tight spot at that time, and she was a little concerned about, we hadn't been paid in a long time. We need to pay some bills and we need some money. And so I began to decree a thing. I began to say, you're rich. Today, if she needed to write a check for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, she doesn't have to stutter. Well, what happened? I began to decree that she was rich. What are you decreeing? I can't get ahead. Nothing I seem to do works. I keep trying, but nothing comes together. No. It don't matter how many times I've been down this road. I'm finding victory. Amen. I am a miracle looking for a place to happen. Yes. Pastor, how long do you have to decree it? It don't matter. You know how it is, you go to the store and you buy that watermelon. And you look at that watermelon and you think, I would really love to just tear that sucker up. But I know the difference between raw warm melon and cold melon. In fact, if I got the time, I don't care how good a refrigerator you have. You can put the watermelon in the refrigerator, or you can get a wash tub and fill that wash tub with ice and put the watermelon in the ice. It'll always be colder in the ice than it is when it comes out of the refrigerator. Bob, I've never figured that out. I don't know how that works. But if I'll ice that melon... So Lou brings the melon home and says, "Do you want some watermelon?" And I say, "Yeah, but not until it's good and cold." Because I know what warm melon tastes like, and it's okay. But I know what cold melon tastes like, and it's heaven. So I wait. We will serve no wine until it's time. And we'll eat no watermelon until it's cold. And we will not get in a hurry about the miracles of God occurring in our life. Rosie, if I have to say it for a year, I'll say it for a year, because it's sweet when you get there. I began to say I'll never be broke another day in my life. And I was so broke I felt like I was lying when I said it. But at this point in my life, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Wealth hunts me down. Wealth hunts me down. I've had people stop me and just stick money in my pocket. I can remember when it was a dollar. I can remember when it was $5. And I can remember many times when I've been stopped and somebody stuck $10,000 in my pocket. "Well, Pastor, that's because you're a preacher." No, no, no. That's because I'm doing what God told me to do. Because I can give you a list of preachers I ain't never seen a $10,000 offering. I asked my mother one day, my father was the oldest minister in his organization. He had had papers with the organization for over 50 years when he died. And I asked my mother, "In those 50 years, what was the biggest offering y'all ever got?" And she said, "A certain man in a certain city once gave us $1,000 for the church." And I thought, $1,000. I've received $150,000 offering one time. $35,000, $50,000, $65,000 another time. My father believed that God loved poor people. I believe that God loves poor people, but he wants to love them into wealth. I've been rich. I've been poor. I like being rich better. I like being able to do things and not be limited by my human ability. I like walking in the God realm. Yes. Mentally, spiritually, physically, and financially. Activate the miracle that belongs in your mouth. Decree things with the light of God's word. Let your light so shine. Because you're decreeing, it is written, that men see the works that what you decree accomplish, and they glorify God and go, "That ain't human. That's supernatural." But your words have to be consistent. You can't tell me, "Pastor, I'm the healed of the Lord," and then call three friends to tell them how bad you hurt. Shut your fool mouth up. If you can't say what God said, don't say nothing. Because you can activate darkness with your mouth, just like you can activate light. Your words have to be consistent. You wake me up in the middle of the night and I'll tell you, I'm the healed of the Lord. You've had people tell you that when I was in a hospital bed, and could barely speak, and people would have to come over and lean over by my mouth to hear what I was breathing out because I couldn't say words. I could just breathe it out. And they would say, "How are you doing?" "I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. Celebrate the victory with me." Why? So that I could return to this. But Pastor, you ain't quite there yet. I'm en route. I am en route. I cannot be defeated, and I will not be denied. His word is my strength and my salvation. Put his word in your mouth and let his light shine through your mouth so people can see what you're creating with your words. And say it boldly, John. We got to get bold in front of people. You hear me saying this. I may be broke at the moment, but I'll never be broke another day in my life. I'm walking into the wealth he provided for me. I'm walking into the health, into the joy, the peace, the victory, the strength he provided for me. Don't give in to defeat. Don't let darkness come out of your mouth. Daddy God, we've delivered your word, and your people are hearing, and they're being transformed, and they're purposing in their heart to walk in alignment with it is written, to talk in alignment with it is written, to prophesy and paint a rich, healthy, gorgeous, splendid, peaceful future for themselves. We are the prophet of our future. We are the artist that paints the world we will live in. And we paint it with your promises. And we rest in your provision. And the people said, amen. Enjoy your 4th of July. Let somebody see the miracles come out of your mouth.